Good morning, everybody. Today is May 22nd, 2017, and I just want to praise the Lord for another amazing day. We actually had rain in San Antonio, so every time it rains, we just praise the Lord because we don't get that very much. So we're so, so thankful for that. And God has so many things in store for us today and for this week. I want to really encourage you as we enter into this new season of summer starting many places around the world, and it's just becoming such a beautiful time of the year where flowers are blooming and birds are chirping and butterflies are floating through the air. And we just want to praise the Lord that He's good to us all the time, regardless of the season that we see around us or the circumstances around us. I want you to be encouraged today. We're going to continue our study on codependencies and God's solution for codependency. I'm super excited that we can continue this because, you know, the thing that I love about God is the enemy, he comes in to try to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He tries to cause discouragement, but God promises us in His Word that He's going to turn all things together for good for those that love Him and have been called according to His purpose. And I know that that's you. So just be encouraged this morning as you're listening. I want to welcome everybody that's on the line with us. We've got lots and lots of callers on this morning from all over the world, whether it's morning or afternoon or evening for you. I just want to encourage you that God's got a mighty plan for you, and He's got a word of encouragement for you here today. So let's open in prayer really quick, and then we'll do our study, and then I'll close out in prayer. Father God, thank You so much for Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, that we are good enough just how we are, that You love us just the way we are, but You love us so much that You won't let us stay that way. So, Father God, I just ask that You would just take this time and speak a new revelation into our hearts and into our minds, so that we would not be the same when we leave the call today, but that we would be encouraged, we would be Your light in this world, that we would minister in the marketplace wherever You have us, that we would be an encouragement and light to an example to our partners, our spouses, our children, our coworkers, whomever You put in our path today. So, Father God, I ask that You would help me to decrease, that You would increase, that You would speak through my mouth, Lord, that it would be directly from your Lord, from You, through my mouth and to the ears of Your children. We love You and we thank You. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we continue our search for the truth of God's Word regarding recovering from codependency, we're going to be looking at our past love addictions today. You know, an effective way to confront codependent love relationships is by using the written word. You know, spelling out our thoughts and our feelings and actions are going to actually distance them from us so that we can look at them. Many times we keep it all in our own head and heart, and we ponder them over and over again. And when we put our relationships on paper, what it does is it helps to paint a more complete picture. It gets us outside of the picture frame, per se. And what it does is it allows us to see it clearly and accurately. And a lot of times we're going to gain insight and devise a recovery plan. So putting your life on paper isn't easy. I understand that completely. And I've done this at several different retreats and workshops. I'm going to encourage you to do this today. When you take time today and you write out what your relationships really look like. Now, what I want you to do is, when you're ready to take a closer look at them, I want you to look at your love addiction, because you can't expect to change it if you don't really have a clear picture of it. So write down the history of your codependent love relationships. First, ask the Spirit of God to bring to mind what you need to know and then to teach you when you need to do it. Okay? Now, He's going to give you both understanding and wisdom, and He's a kind and He's a loving God. So understand that in order to be free and to free yourself from the fettered addictions and He's going to teach you how to live into His glorious freedom, and many times it comes through writing it out. Proverbs 19:8 says, "He who gives wisdom loves his own soul, or he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who cherishes understanding prospers." So I want you to make a list of every person with whom you have had a codependent relationship, every single one. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, I don't even know if I've ever had a relationship that wasn't codependent. That's okay. That's okay. Don't judge it. If the Lord brings the person or the relationship to your remembrance, it's okay. Just first off, write out how'd you meet and how were you attracted to this person? What was it that attracted you to them? How did you pursue and draw this person to you? How did you feel and what did you fantasize about this person? Now, I want you to conclude by answering, how do you think God felt about your choices? And realize that the Lord is ready to meet your deepest emotional needs. He knows you. He created you. He created those emotions. Yet when we live with misplaced priorities, the Bible says that we commit spiritual adultery. Ezekiel 6:9 says, "I've been grieved by their adulterous hearts, which have turned away from me, and by their eyes, which have lusted after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evil that they have done and for all their detestable practices." So God wants to meet those emotional needs. He wants to be there for you. He wants to be the one that is going to give you that healthy love, the love that is perfect, because He can give us all the types of love all at the same time. All at the same time. It's fabulous, and it's rewarding. And, you know, there's been times in my own life where even when I was married, my husband was not able to meet that emotional need of love. And what I found was that my Heavenly Father, the one who created me, promised that He would meet every emotional need, that He would be my husband, and He will be the same for you. He knows your deepest emotional needs, and we can't misplace that on another person. Secondly, the second step is write out, how did the relationship progress through various stages? Was it fascination? Was it a fantasy? Was there some kind of fog? Was there fear? Was there a forsaking? Was there a fixation, a frenzy? What was it, and how did it look? And then how did you feel in each one of these stages? And then how did you act during each stage? And then in this section, I want you to conclude by answering, how did you fail to involve God in your life during each stage? Because what we're doing is we're trying to create a picture. We're trying to create a model for you so that you can see that how you can prevent this from happening in the future, but also how you can gain healing from this now. Then realize how ready the Lord has been to intervene. He's been here all along, just waiting. Isaiah 50 verses 2 and 3 says, "When I came, why was no one there? When I called, why was there no one to answer? Was my arm too short or to ransom you? Do I lack the strength to rescue you? By a mere rebuke, I dry up the sea. I turn rivers into a desert. Their fish rot for lack of water and die for thirst. I clothe the sky with darkness and make the sackcloth its covering." What God's saying here is, I'm big enough. I've got you. I love you. I understand you. I'm the only one that can meet that deepest desire of love that you've been craving for. Now, the next thing I want you to write out, step 3, is how did you become preoccupied with the relationship? How did you start neglecting yourself and start focusing on taking care of the other person? And how did you come to expect that person to meet all of your needs? Conclude by answering, how did you start neglecting God, and when did you stop relying on Him? Now, I know for some of us, we think that it was this big, like all of a sudden, this thunderous lightning bolt came and struck, and it was this big, huge happening. That's just not the case. For many of us, it was, we just got busy and we forgot to pick up our Bible one day. And then we got, you know, we're in a hurry and we didn't take the time to read or come back to it. And then something happened and we lost and we got our attention and we got distracted. And then we didn't have our prayer time or our worship time. And then maybe we thought, you know, I don't really need to go to church today. I'm just kind of tired this morning. And we stopped going to church. And then one thing after another, the relationship began to get neglected with the Lord. So the Lord wants to forgive us. It doesn't have to be a big, huge process coming back to Him either. We just need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You're a priority in my life. And then realize how ready the Lord's been to make you fruitful. Jeremiah 2:21 says, I had planted you like a choice vine and sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? Number 4, write out how has this relationship replicated your painful childhood experiences? How were you mistreated in the relationship and how did you react? How does the relationship impact you today? And then I can conclude by answering, how is God replacing or wanting to replace your self-destructive, love-addictive patterns with constructive, healthy, holy patterns? He will show you. He will guide you. He'll direct you. It might be something just as simple as picking up your Bible or setting an alarm in your phone for 10 minutes early each day to read the Word for 5 minutes and pray for 5 minutes. He's not asking that you make hours and day-long commitments. He's just saying, spend time with me. Let's get things back on track. Let's fall in love with each other again. Conclude by asking, how is God replacing or wanting to replace your self-destructive, love-addicted patterns with constructive, healthy, holy patterns? And then realize how ready the Lord is to reparent you in order to meet your deepest needs and heal your deepest hurts. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me, is Psalm 27, verse 10. And lastly in this section, I'm sorry, we've got 2 more points. That we're going to write out. We're going to write out, how have you experienced fear, envy, jealousy, abandonment, and anger in the relationship? How did you assign a higher priority to this person than everything else? And how have you made this person the focus of your thought life? Now, many times it becomes an obsessive behavior that we're afraid of being alone, and it's that fear of abandonment. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I break the fear of abandonment over every person's life and the relationships that they're in Jesus' name. I want you to conclude this section by asking, how can you appropriate the mind of Christ in order to overcome destructive feelings and to live out of your resources in Christ? And then realize how ready the Lord has been to give you His thinking. He wants to give you His mind, right? According to 1 Corinthians 2:16, it tells us that we have the mind of Christ. So when you start thinking thoughts that are not the healthy God thoughts, I want you to quote the scripture, I have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. And I want you to repeat it over and over again until you truly believe it. Lastly, write out, how do you feel about that person in the relationship now? How has your perspective changed? How did things, people, and circumstances become factors in changing your perspective? And conclude with, how do you think God's been involved in changing your perspective? Realize how ready the Lord is to complete His perfect plan for your life. Philippians 1:6 tells us, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. So He's completing the work in you. So I don't want you to think you're broken. I don't want you to think you're messed up. I don't want you to think that things are all wrong or that you've gone too far, that you're a lost case or a lost cause, because you know what? You're just under construction. You're in process. And that's okay, because guess what? Each and every one of us are, until the return of Christ. Until He takes you home or He returns, you're under complete, under process, you're under construction. You're not at a place where we have expectations of completion. The Lord doesn't put that on you either, so don't do that to yourself. Now, recovery step number three is to get on the road to interdependent relationships. Now, we all love to see pictures of babies, don't we? And what we love to do is see their stair-step growth into young adulthood. Built within little immature children is the ability to grow to maturity. Why should it be any less for immature adults? It's not. They too can move from their immaturity and develop mature relationships. And once we understand the goal of each developmental stage for reestablishing healthy relationships, we can set out to accomplish those goals without the aid of earthly parents. God promises that He would do that for us, right? Many have done this by taking the hand of the Heavenly Father and allowing Him to reparent them. I want you to know that I'm sure that regardless of the circumstances, your parents were doing the best they could at the time with what they had, with the understanding they had, with the freedom they had, and we need to forgive them. We need to just understand that the Lord says, I'm going to meet every need that they could not. Don't hold a grudge or a root of bitterness against them, because that's the enemy working in your life. That's not going to serve you. And many, many people have allowed the Lord to reparent them. And you can do this by having a plan and then working your plan with the caring support of others and trust in the Lord. It's an enormously important journey with enormously gratifying reward. This is the journey that God intended for you to take from the very beginning. And isn't it encouraging that today He's saying, I'm going to give you a second chance. Today's the day that I'm going to give you the opportunity that you can get back on track, because this is what I've intended for you all along. I believe in my heart of hearts that the Lord what He has for you will never be taken from you and not be restored back to you, but even to a greater measure. So don't fear, for I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What an incredible promise the Lord has given us in Isaiah 41:10. So make it your goal to develop an intimate relationship with God and to form interdependent relationships with significant people in your life. Commit to becoming actively involved in a Bible study and in a prayer group. That's so important to stay connected. Groups help us to have the accountability and the support that we need and we desire. Commit to reading God's Word on a daily basis and to memorizing Scripture, even if it's small verses, short verses. Just commit and start one at a time. Commit to finding an accountability group and a Christian relationship mentor who will be available to you, spend time with you on a regular basis, and be honest with you, coach you in your relationships, and be there to support you. I love that you have committed to be a part of our prayer group every single Monday. Invite your friends to do the same, those that are struggling maybe with codependency or just need an additional word of encouragement to start their week. Invite them to join us as well. But find someone local where you live that can help do this. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another. And the second step is to make a plan to move toward maturity in your relationship. Ask God to help you discern where you are stuck in the relationship developmental stages. We had talked about that in a previous lesson. Ask your mentor or another wise person to help you identify your relationship needs. For example, maybe you need sharing or problem solving or listening or support with negotiation. And ask your accountability group to hold you accountable to establish appropriate goals in order to meet each of your relationship needs. Now, for many of us, we'll set business goals and we will set goals for personal development, but we don't do it with our relationships. So I want this to be a focus for you, is to have it be with your relationships. James 1:4 says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James 1:4. Now, perseverance must finish its work so that we can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So God promises that he's going to do it. He's going to do it in and through you. Now, the next step is make your relationship with your parents complete. Choose to resolve any unhealthy patterns with your parents. Break any unhealthy bonds, and if possible, establish mature adult bonds with each parent. Now, that may not actually be able to happen, okay? You can only do your part, and that's what the Lord is asking you to do. He's asking you to do your part to help resolve the unhealthy relationship. That's it. So as you go and move forward, realize that you're going to do your part. Choose not to be emotionally enmeshed or needy or controlled by your parents. If necessary, you may have to separate yourself emotionally until you can respond in a healthy way with no strings attached, okay? So this may be something that you're going to have to really work on. It might be that you need to choose to identify and process your family of origin problems by forgiving your offenders and grieving your losses. Say that then, and this is now. Now, Romans 12:19 says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord, Romans 12:19. So don't feel like you've got that you've got to be the one that has to make things right in your relationship as far as being vindictive or making someone else pay. That's not what the Lord is saying here. He's not saying that he wants you to make them pay for their offense. He's saying he wants you to forgive them. And he's not saying that what you are, by doing this, that you're saying what they did to offend you was okay or anything else. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is we want your heart right before the Lord so that you can be in a place of forgiveness. Okay? Now, the next step is make a vow to be a person of integrity in thought, word, and deed. Learn to free yourself of any family secrets. Refuse to carry them any longer. Now, this does not mean that you go out and you start blogging or posting all over Facebook or social media the sins of the other person or what has been done to you or done inside of your family that would cause any other pain or hurt. Those things need to be surrendered to the Lord. Learn to listen, to say no, to set boundaries, to give and receive, and to ask for what you need from people. Then practice those new healthy patterns. It's going to take practice, and you may stumble, and if you stumble, you just come back to the Lord, ask forgiveness, and you start again. Learn to feel your feelings, to express hurt, to withdraw and think about what you need to do or say, and then write out your action plan, rehearse it, and do it. 1 Peter 1:13 through 15 says, prepare your mind for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. 1 Peter 1:13 through 15. Now I want you to make a new job description as well. My job is to discern the character of a person and to respond accordingly with maturity. That's what I want you to think about. My job is to discern the character of a person and to respond accordingly with maturity. Your next job is to be a safe person for your friends and family and to be present and attentive in your relationship. Your next job description is to take care of yourself and to be responsible for yourself without hurting, punishing, attacking, getting even, or even lying to yourself or to other people. Job 27:6 says, I will maintain my righteousness and never let go of it. My conscience will not reproach me as long as I live. I also want you to make a new commitment to yourself. Tell yourself, you know what? I will let go of the old self-centered me because I'm growing into a new Christ-centered me. I will exchange the lies that I've believed about myself for God's truth about me according to His word. And I will no longer betray myself by making immature choices. I will redeem my past, bad choices, by making good, mature choices now. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old one's gone. The new one has come. Make maturity, not emotional relationships, your highest goal. Focus on forming friendships in which you're free to learn and grow and mature, not emotional attachments that lead to roller coaster relationships. Focus on any potential relationships that might trigger your codependent tendencies and guard your heart from them, because you're going to want to fall into those patterns of those emotional highs and lows. Focus on building relationships with trustworthy, mature Christians whose goal is being Christ-like. And during a severe time of trial, David's dear friend Jonathan said that he helped him find strength in God. That's what we want our friends to do, is to help us to find our own strength in God and not in another person. 1 Samuel 26:13 is where we find that reference for David. I know that we're at the top of the hour. We've got just a couple more, we've got one more in-depth recovery step. So we'll cover that on next week's lesson on our road to freedom. And that's what we're going to be talking about next week, is finding the road to freedom. The Lord's given us so much to think about and to work through this week. And I know that you can do this, because we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Philippians 4:13, correct? So let's go to the Lord in prayer, because I want you to be encouraged. We had a great praise report this morning that Timba received so much help. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. We give you glory and honor that regardless of what we think and do, that we can come boldly before you, we can make our requests made known to you, we can surrender our pride and say, Lord, this is where I'm at. And you're faithful to answer our prayers. You're faithful to be with us. You're faithful to strengthen us. So, Father God, I ask today that you strengthen each person that's hearing my voice. Strengthen them to carry on. Lord, I ask that you would help us to come through, that we would learn from these circumstances around us and how you bring us in and through each one a much stronger, better person, closer to you, more like you in everything that we say and do. Father, we ask that you would be with Peter in this job, Lord. We thank you that the first round went so well. We ask that continued favor pour out upon him in this situation. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to open the doors to place him exactly where you would have him be, so that he can be the most effective. And Lord, we just ask that job come quickly in Jesus' name. And Father, I know that we talked about so much today, that we need to look at our past and write out, how did you meet our needs? Can we break this love addiction? So Lord, right now, if there's any ungodly soul ties holding us to those unhealthy love addictions, I break them now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask that you would just bind us to your heart, that you would fill those places, those crevices that have been left open with Holy Spirit love and wisdom and grace and mercy that you promise us. And Lord, I ask that as we create healthy relationships, that as we go through and we create healthy boundaries and we get right with our own parents, and if they're past, Father, I pray that you would give us the ability to just write a letter to them and to pour out our heart, Lord, so that we can forgive them ourselves, because we know the power of forgiveness is not in them and how they receive us, but in the act of us forgiving them. So, Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that you've given us the ability to forgive. And, Lord, I ask that as each person comes to our remembrance, Lord, that you would, in Jesus' name, help us to forgive them. Lord, we just know that you are truth and you are love and you are light and you are power. And so, Lord, I ask that you just bring that forth, that it just anoints each person that's listening to my voice from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, that healing take place in every cell in their body as well as in their soul, their mind, their will, and their emotions, Lord, that healing take place, that every emotion is healed, that every heartache has been healed in Jesus' name, and that they can clearly see that the scales are taken off of all of our eyes, that the stoppers that the enemy has placed in our ears are unplugged, that we can hear and see and know what healthy relationships are. Lord, I ask that as they are seeking out those that will help support them in this journey, accountability partners and mentors, that you will be there to support them, that you will help them to be what you want them to be, that you would guide and direct them and place them in good churches with people that will love and care for them and truly understand them. And as we make new confessions of faith, Father, that we can clearly see what our new job descriptions are, that they're to discern the character of the person, to be mature, to put, you know, safe relationships in place, that we're attentive to the relationships, that we don't allow ourselves to go back into those easy patterns. Give us strength, Father God. Lord, we commit that we will not be self-centered. We will be new. We will be renewed in your mind. We will take on the mind of Christ. We will focus on forming the relationships that will please you. And Lord, we ask forgiveness for the times that we did not, the times where we placed someone else or something else above you. Forgive us for this idol worship, Lord, and we just ask that you would meet every one of our needs. Help us to receive your love. Help us to receive your love. Thank you, Lord, that we are more than enough and that you love us just how we are and that you love us so much that you're not leaving us this way. We love you. We thank you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, make it a great week. Walk in a new sense of freedom. I could just sense as I was praying today that the Lord was setting you free, that the Lord was giving you a new perspective on your relationships, that he was setting you free from those old patterns. If he's done this for you today, you know, it tells us in the Word in Revelation that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so I want you to share your testimony with me. And I'm not going to ask that you have to do it in a big public place or blast it all across Facebook. If you can just send me a private message, or if you want to put it on the Facebook page of the Christian Direct Seller, feel free to do that. But send me a message because I'm gonna rejoice in the Lord with you. We're going to break the bonds that the enemy has placed on you and kept you in fettered chains with. You are free today because who the Lord sets free is free indeed. I want you to know today's a new day for you. Don't let the enemy lie to you later today or tomorrow. If he whispers to you that you aren't free or you see yourself going back into those old patterns, you say, I am free in the name of Jesus, and you walk it out. The Lord will forgive you every single time you stumble and fall. You're in process, and it's okay. I love you guys. Thanks for staying with me a couple extra minutes this morning. Know that God loves you, and he has restored you, and he only has good and amazing things for you. Walk in this new strength and this new healing. I love you guys, and if you need anything, you know you can always private message me on Facebook. But be free. Have an amazing, amazing day. I love you. God bless you. Take care, everybody. I'll be with you next week. Bye now.